So this, I forgot we're live. I don't know how to do intros for this show. I haven't figured it out. It's the greatest comic book of all time that we read this week. There's no comic news, or I don't know any.
Wait. Your greatest comic book of all time that I read this week with Kyle and Jack and special guest star, Tim Murder.
I changed my name to Comic-Con at home.
Oh, damn it. Tim, yeah. This is your first. We've done a Menominee Comics.
This is our San Diego panel.
Yep.
We've done a Menominee Comics before, but this is your first time on Greatest Comic of All Time, right?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is?
Cool, awesome.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
That checks out to me too. Actually, it's funny. I just got an alert from Comic-Con. They're tracking us. Oh, you know what? They may just be faithful watchers.
I
was wondering. I guess that's a talking point. Well, because San Diego's not happening. Obviously, that would be this week.
Yeah,
which is why I have so many alerts set to my Twitter so I can buy action figures.
did you see that the Mondo Wolverine?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to get that
tomorrow at noon. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's Central 9 time.
So I have an alert. I'll look in the morning.
Yeah, man.
Have you seen it, Jack?
I have, of course. I mean, who could this be?
Oh my god. I can't imagine how much it's gonna be, but
I think it's
200?
Yeah.
That's not bad. I've been tempted to get the Batman. They put out the animated one.
I have it.
You have it?
Yeah, it's dope. Yeah.
That's my fear of, well, because I've dove into it and now it's gonna turn into comic stuff. But I think I showed this to you, Jack.
Action figure chat.
The Mayfest.
Yes, you did. Stuff. Yeah, like, it's so rad.
I know. Like, their stuff looks exactly like the comic book. It's insane.
No, they get it. And it's like, it's so, I mean, they get it in the details, which is the, like, where I think all the stuff falls apart. Do either of you guys, like, are you big on the sort of, like, did you see the gigantic Galactus?
Yeah, that's not for me.
Yeah, oh.
I've been weighing it. Well, because...
Literally 40 pounds, 50.
Yeah, the problem with those, like those things are cool. Like it's Kickstarter for action figures. Like, it's a smart way to like do something big and get it out to people. But like, it's up the same week as I've been trying to tack down those Turtles in Disguise 4-pack.
Oh, the alternate ones? Those are fucking rad. Those might actually pull me in.
I haven't seen them in stores, and then NECA put them up online for pre-order. So you can, it's like a 2-week window. You can pre-order them, and it's like $125 plus, I think, $14 for shipping. Mm. And it's like the same time frame as what am I going to do with a giant Galactus? Like,
I will tell you exactly what you do with giant Galactus.
I'm not going to do anything with four more turtles. I already have a whole fucking shelf.
You have giant Galactus fight your giant Unicron, and then you have the battle of the planet eating elder gods or whatever they are.
Yeah. I have another one. I have a black variant one they put out, like the Super Shredder.
Ooh.
Like, I have. What am I gonna fucking do? Yeah.
I mean, you could pull a prank on your wife and like be like, "Yeah, I'm taking care of the baby," and then you're like holding.
That's true. They're like wrapped
also
up.
those turtle variants they're really cool. Like
with the human masks.
Oh wait! Oh, I was thinking of the ones like one's an astronaut and one, boy, I just got the Fran Drescher took over the astronaut. one's an astronaut. I think. All right, am I hallucinating? I'm on cold medicine.
There's one. It's called. I think it's called. It's the Turtles in Disguise 4-pack.
Oh.
And it's the four of them, and they come with their trench coats and then the human masks they wore on the show.
Oh, that's cool.
But then it has like interchangeable like face plates, so you can like have them like more expressive. Which again, why I don't do like because I don't do like photography, so I'm just like I got it for a good deal yesterday. I went to a local shop. I have the
rad
because I think it's like listed for like 50 or 60, but he had it for like $30.
Wow, that's kick ass.
Yeah, I get it. What do you do? Even, like, I don't know. I think, he has, like, 5 points of articulation. And I'll just leave him.
He does? He's not just, like, a flat, like a statue?
No, yeah, he moves. He has like his legs and arms and head move.
That is actually one of my favorite Klaus stories.
Yeah, it's like the most fun Klaus, and even saying that is like it's fun with like, a huge dose of depressing.
No, fun dark.
Yeah, which is a lot of. Well, I feel like there's a progression in our books. There's like fun, there's fun and dark, and then there's one that's just like beyond depressing.
Yeah, Restaurant from Another World, man. Yeah, tearjerker.
Sad. Yeah. where was I going with? Oh, so yes, Comic-Con. So New York is happening though. And I did get my press pass, so I will be going. How do you guys feel? I mean, I think by then I'll be comfortable going. I don't know why I wouldn't be. I don't know.
It's tough with like the new resurgence. I mean, yeah, I feel like wearing a mask is the right thing to do. But now I'm like,
wait, which of the turtle human masks will you wear?
That's a good idea. That might be an excuse to actually cosplay. Like, I've never never wanted to cosplay ever. But.
No pictures. I just don't want COVID.
I think the only mask I have is the Court of Owls one they gave out 1 year.
Well, if you're going to have one, that's the one to have.
That'd be cool, everyone. Yes, from a storyline 10 years ago. So I guess I'm good. I mean, let's... the way I do it now, because like I'm fairly close, is I like drive to Albany, which is only like 40 minutes away, and I take a bus down, which is 2 hours every day. It's cheaper than staying in a hotel, so I literally commute to it every day. So
yeah, and if you don't have to drive like actually into the city, and just take a bus. That's gonna be nice.
Yeah. So I definitely go Thursday. That's my favorite day because it's like the slow. Day and you can do most of like the comic stuff. And I guess Zealand, if it's Zealand. Shitty after that, I'll bail. I don't know. We'll see. I'm surprised they're doing it, especially with San Diego not doing it.
Yeah, San Diego's supposed to have like a special event in November too.
Yeah, so. That's what I. Well,
it's like that. Do you remember? I don't know how many years ago I went to one or two of them. Comic Con did like, or New York did like a. Special edition New York, and it was I don't remember when it was. It was like maybe in the summer or in the spring, and it was like a 2 day more comic focused one. It was dumb. I think we discovered this last year that like cons are pretty much. I mean, there's no real like for the press stuff. I don't even know why. I mean, I get it because it's free.
Yeah, exactly.
But I go there and like I cover things and I'm like, no one cares. Like, no one cares about this shit. You're going to get it online in 5 minutes, probably quicker than at the panel. Yeah. Like, because like I don't live tweet things. So, like,
no, anything that you're
sorry,
in,
I'll forget.
Hall H for, like, you're in the back of this like huge arena and you've got like, if you're taking, you know, a photo, it's like, you got this tiny little box of what's going on in the front.
I know. And the people at home are getting like the, like, high res.
No, people text me to tell me what's going on at Comic-Con. Although I will say, I think the, what was it? Fandome, the DC thing that they did last year. I kind of think that is like, if you wanted to sort of like the cons are a little too crowded. If you wanted to take the movie piece, and I don't mean like the comic movies, you want to have them there, but like Game of Thrones and sort of stuff that's like nerd adjacent that they sort of like crowd the place with, have those, have like fandoms where it's just sort of like, we're going to do like a Disney celebration thing, or we're going to show some trailers and like all that sort of like media stuff and social stuff we'll do here. And then the actual con itself will be like, events and panels and the stuff that you know what I mean? Like separate the two, pull them out. So, you know, you're not stuck in one of those like 50,000 people soups.
Yeah. I'm trying to like flip through back issues and like cheap trade. And like Jason Momoa is walking by and I'm like, I'm just stop.
Can I live?
It's pretty much just like an excuse to go shopping.
Yeah, exactly.
A bunch of booths.
Like, oh my god, this year I got a hit list of things that I'm looking for. So I not this year, I guess it'll be 2024. But I cannot wait to go looking for deals.
Shoot me a list. I'll look. Usually usually after 10 minutes, I've done everything I was supposed to do for the day, and I'm just walking around for 8 hours, bugging people at their booths.
That is also
bugging Dave Baker while he's trying to sell stuff. Like real people. I'm like, I already bought all this. I don't.
Yeah.
It's gonna take up your time and money. But I guess one thing that I've noticed, I think we've talked about this, Jack, at cons. I think it's like one of the few times I think you really notice the divide between comics and like manga. I think it's kind of like where they seem to like section it out, and we discussed on the show, and that's why we're doing this quote unquote manga focused episode, even though we did a manga last time. But it's been a discussion. We've talked about it, like the idea of like manga versus comics, and it's essentially the same thing, and kind of the divide between it. I always feel like I don't want to separate them because they're not separate, but at the same time, to have like a general discussion with a majority of people, like you have to say that, because then like, I don't know, it feels weird too. Like when I was like getting like the tweet ready, I was like, I don't want to say like we're talking about Japanese comics, because even that feels weird. At the same time, I think if you say like we're talking about comics, the majority of people think we're talking about
superhero comics. Yeah, Western comics. Yeah.
So I don't think you can really win until it's totally separate, or like not separated, integrated. But I don't know when that will.
Well, I will say I had to pick up a couple books for like this week, and then like Die Dark for last show, and but I would go into the comic shop and I would say, hey, do you guys have Day Dark? And they would be like, oh, let me think. And then when you add, oh, it's a manga, like then suddenly like it kind of falls into focus. So I think like when you're talking about books, like you kind of have to add that little, or I don't know. I say that as like more in the comic camp, but I guess if you're in the manga camp, you have to say like, I'm looking for Spider-Man. It's just a comic, not a manga.
Yeah, it's a weird, it is like
I was going to say, like working at Barnes & Noble, there's got to be like, because there's like the specific manga section and then there's like the comic section. So do you get people asking, or I guess, how does that work there?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, for the most part, like the people who collect one or the other know, and the way they have it set up is like on the one side. So it's like, I don't know, 8 bays or whatever is manga. And on the other side is comics or graphic novels. And that's shorter. Like it's divided. I think there's literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's only 5 bays of comics now, because I control the comic section. And they recently had us.
Gatekeeper.
Yeah, they finally had us. I've like argued forever to divide it up by publisher, because they used to have it all in one big thing.
Yeah.
So now it's like DC, Marvel, Image, Dark Horse, and then everything else, because we didn't have enough. But so manga even like overruns the section. I've talked about it on the show before, like that is the number one selling department in Barnes and Noble's. Like, not, it's not even close. Like, we literally, I only work Sundays now, and come Sundays we're cleared out like pretty much of everything, and then it gets like restocked during the week, and then like it just goes again. It's insane. Wow.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so it's like I don't know. It's because we're not in the, like, I don't know where those fears of coverage are, really. But, like, as someone who reads, like, tons of manga, I still don't even see, like, discussions about it outside of the very
It's YouTube, stuff. Right? Like, I feel like, because, like, it's younger readers, I think, and they're all sort of, like, I think they all sort of, like, the news is YouTube for them, and that's where they
it's pretty much, I think it's, like, because I've gotten into, like, the subsets on there, like, manga tube. Which is people like doing manga haul. Like, it's pretty much usually manga hauls, like some reviews, but usually it's like hauls and then like go shopping with me. Which is so interesting, because like comics is like the opposite. Like, it's like three white guys sitting talking about comics. Like,
I feel attacked.
Yeah. I mean, it's such like there is some reviews, but it's mainly like, I don't know, it's such a different demographic. And I think it's partly because of the way they're collected and the type of stuff they cover. And I think that like even the like three books we're going to talk about today, like they're so different, and I don't think you would see, I mean, there's, you see different books in general Western comics, maybe more so in like the independent stuff, but like I think it, like even with your like Image, Dark Horse and Boom, like they're all pretty much the same things you're going to see at Marvel or DC, but just like a little bit different or more on the fringe, but like not that wide, but like something like your pick, Tim, like you would never see that book in a major comic. It's so specific and so dedicated to one thing, which
that's like something that I really enjoy about manga, probably more, even though I read more comics, is just it's a wide variety of genres. It's not just like, because American comics, you're like, oh, that's superheroes. But then when you're like, oh, Japanese comics, it's wide open.
Yeah.
So Tim's pick, not to spoil it ahead of time, was sort of in, I feel like I've read a lot of manga and seen Japanese like movies and cartoons where like there's like not a fetishization around food, but just like these beautiful animations of like people slowly putting sushi together or slowly, you know, making miso soup and like every little piece of it is so sort of like, I think it's like it's heavily ritualized and sort of done with, you know, skill and precision. And that carries over in your comic, not to speak about it ahead of time. So I was like, oh, is there a genre? Because I was like, I love it. I could sit and watch food getting made all day long. Is this a genre? Is there a genre of manga? So I went to do a little research and I read two Wikipedia articles. So now I'm an expert. And I guess that story comes from light novels. You guys know that term? Okay. So help me through this. Light novels are like young adult novels that then get made into manga and then potentially also from manga go into anime. Is that the life cycle?
I don't necessarily know if they always get made. They're just, it's the same dumb American, it's the same idea of calling manga or calling comics manga. Light novels are just Japanese novels that are like, I don't know, that like, because like a light novel is just a novel and it's, I think they still read it differently.
Specifically YA.
Oriented. Yeah, that was the thing that the big takeaway was for younger readers, like a certain age range that they're shooting for. And then, but when they say light novel, does that mean it is a non-illustrated prose? And then someone adapts it.
It's just a book. It's just a just a novel. There's there might be like a chapter page illustration, but there is almost no. It's just a book. Like
that feels like something especially like I think like with the info on Scholastic and stuff, like the sort of emphasis on YA is like, you know, our big seller in comics. I think that's something that we could take a page out of that book, because I feel like Western comics, there may be a comic for Hunger Games. I don't mean to say that there isn't, but like taking stuff like Hunger Games and that whole dystopic sort of area and making those in the comics is such a gimme. And it would be the great intermediate step between while you're waiting the 2 years for the movie to get made. I think that's I think that is something like we're foolish to not emulate.
Yeah. Well, I think technically
I was just saying like Harry Potter.
Oh, you know what? You're totally right. Are there comics of Harry Potter?
No, not that I'm aware of.
What?
But like
leaving all that money on the table.
Yeah, it seems like a no brainer.
I mean, now they can leave it on the table.
a little late, Pottermore. Sorry, what was the book you were showing, Carl?
Battle Royale.
Oh, so great.
Like, this thing's fucking huge. Like, and technically, it is just a big ass book. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
But they'll try and. I've taken it out of. They put it in the manga section numerous times at Barnes and Noble. I've taken it out and put it in the sci-fi section. Like, it's not manga just because there's Japanese people on the cover.
Well, I will say so. If I can play my hand, just on the subject of manga, I think being younger. Oh, looky there! Is that also the novel, or is that
the manga?
Yeah, it's the manga.
Do you have all of them?
Yeah, it's 15 volumes.
Yeah, you're sitting on a gold mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, those things are fucking expensive.
Yeah, I probably got them like 10 years ago or something. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, 10
they're out of. Most of them are out of print. Yeah. I shouldn't have said that.
So I think being an older guy, when I was younger, you know, you read comics, they're at gas stations. And then like TV, like I think like first with probably with like, you know, G-Force and then Robotech and then Voltron. Like I think a lot of stuff that like was the sort of gateway drug from manga. Like, you're kind of like, this is like this pool. If you're a young person, all this stuff is sort of coming at you because it's sort of directed to young eyes. And then, like, it is comics and it is art, cartoons, it is G.I. Joe and Transformers, and it's also, you know, Jeff. So I feel like it was a more natural step. But I did always kind of think, like, the reason why I never spent a lot of time with manga in particular was because, like, I'll wait till the anime. I feel like it's, like, it's the perfect form. It's the final evolution. But this exercise really corrected me on that, because I think with Dorohedoro, which I saw as the anime and have loved. Well, I'll wait till we get to the actual. Which one do we want to do first, Kyle?
So that's what I was wondering, because I think there's a clear progression. Should we start? Should we start light or should we start heavy and end on a light note?
No, let's start light. We've already talked about Restaurant to Another World a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like it is. I mean, I don't want to, like, it's pretty straightforward versus, I think.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to talk about Dorohedoro again. Like,
that'll be short. Like, we've discussed it.
I just don't know how we discuss it. Like, much like Guy Dark, I was like, I don't know how to approach this.
So, Tim, your selection of greatest comic book of all time that you read this week was
Restaurant to Another World, Volume 1.
The manga.
I
was like, Tim, if I gotta read a light novel.
Yeah, I'm just like you were talking about, like the good looking food and like,
oh yeah.
Like, I'm really into, like, I love Food Network growing up. Like, I love looking at food. Even though I have the most boring palate of anyone in the world. But so I read like Food Wars, and I was like, so this is my like cooking manga kick. And then I finished that and I was like, where do I go from here? So like I looking up and I found like Restaurant to Another World, and I was like, okay, it's this fantasy book. So it's basically, there's once a week on Saturdays, a door will appear in certain places in the world, and when you enter it, it's not even in the world, it's about like across the universe, I guess. Yeah, the multiverse. And so when you go to the other side, you're inside of a Japanese restaurant, and that they can make you pretty much anything that you want. And so I just like, I like going out to eat, and I like looking at food, and I like seeing like lion people eat tofu. That's pretty dope.
And that's like we were talking about before, like with manga, like it sounds like such a very specific concept and like plot. And it's literally like each chapter is someone else coming to this restaurant with a very specific problem or request, and he makes them like a dish, and they spend like 5 pages like just like glorifying this dish, and then it's like, I like the dish, and then they leave. Yeah. And like it seems I don't want to say stupid and like, but it seems so simple, but it's like, yeah, executed so perfectly. And if that's your thing, like it's like, again, like they're catering to people who want to read this. Like, no one's going to set out and read this who I think doesn't want to read like this very specific thing. And if you do, you're not going to be into it. But if you do, like, it's for you. Like, they nail it like perfectly.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, and what's interesting about it is like, after you get to that first chapter, which you meet kind of like, I guess the chef is like the main protagonist, but I'm not really sure if he is. He's kind of like
he's David Duchovny on Red Shoe Diaries. Like, he gets the letter every week and reads it and sets the story. Like, he's going to prepare the dish. The one caveat I would say to Tim's explanation was,
he's like the doctor, maybe. I don't know a doctor who is.
I think people who need the door find the door. Like, it's not just that they, you know, like, I think people who need this meal or what this meal is going to do for them suddenly find the door. And he is sort of like he's not really a character. He's just the framing device. You know, he'll prepare the meal and somehow intuitively knows what it is that they hunger for in their soul as well as their mouth.
Yeah, well, that's like the so obviously they want a specific dish. Like, there's the she a demon or like a dragon or
demon. With the horns,
the queen. Yeah. Or she's the one who like doesn't trust human food, and she wanted a very essentially wanted a vegan dish, was like, she was listing all these things, and I was like, oh, okay, I think this is a vegan dish. It sounds very complicated, but so it's like, okay, like, how's this guy gonna make this dish? But like, through the course of the story and through the course of like consuming the dish, you find out like there's a backstory, not necessarily like super deep, but like they weave in this kind of like narrative as to why someone wants this dish and why like now it's changed them. Like, he's doing more than kind of feeding them. He's literally kind of like changing their path or their life. Yeah. And that's what I was like, when I read the first chapter, I was like, oh, this is like cute, but like, I don't really know how this, like, how are you going to continue to do this? And they continue to find ways to make it clever. And then only also kind of like weave in these storylines. I'd be interested to see, like, I didn't see how far it went. I know there was like quite a few volumes, but like
there's four. Yeah.
I think I went three deep. Like, once I started, I couldn't stop. Like the meal, you know, like, I was just like, oh, I want more. Two things. I think the sequences where they're making the food are usually like a little spiritual. Like, it's not just sort of like the, you know, the like a master chef preparing something, you know, exquisitely. There's like a, you know, there's just like, it's a sensual experience. And like, that's hard to sometimes convey in a comic, but they have a couple of different little effects that they employ. Like those, what are those? What I guess they're doing in the, so I read a translation, obviously. So like, I imagine that there's all these little characters that they then sort of translate into just what they're saying. And they're, you know, they're like, if a person's rubbing their head, it'll say scritch, scritch, scritch. You know, they're very fun little, like, so like, those are employed really well to sort of like, not just say like, it's not just a sound effect and it's not just an onomatopoeia, but it's also sort of what emotion is supposed to be. Like, oh, it's sweet and it's sour. You know, like they really signpost a lot of stuff in that. And then like, you're also in the character's head when they're eating it. So you're also sort of going through their sort of like, you know, and it's usually like kind of on the verge of orgasm. Like I think the one of the earlier stories, you know, like the camera shifts from the mouth to just sort of like pulling back from this very beautiful woman who is sort of sitting in this sort of classic anime style, you know, like sort of squeezing her chest. Like it was like, it was a highly sexualized, you know, she just really enjoyed that meal. And I couldn't feel that was an accident.
it's a very When Harry Met Sally moment.
Yeah. Although I gotta say, like, I think that was the mincemeat.
There's a few cutlet. Fan servicey. Is I think that's what they call it in like manga, like fan
yeah. Ser- like,
oh right, like, right, right.
Hot women or like close ups of boobs or butts. But it's very cute. It's not like
I don't know. It didn't feel lecherous. It felt like it was
some of the
like,
other stuff.
Yeah.
No, this was a total delight. What I Tim, thank you so much for suggesting it. And
you're welcome.
I love it. And I think the like if you go on in the reading, it kind of becomes like I think like the Twilight Zone. Or maybe not the Twilight. It's not as like as otherworldly as Twilight Zone, maybe like Night Gallery, where there's gonna be like a little nugget of a story you kind of heard in different versions. You know, like you like the Eternal stories are always getting passed around and they do like a little like that sometimes is like who the character is and why they're there and why they're eating. Like that's their little backstory bit. And yeah. You know, like, it's just like another, like, it's like a little short story, you know, they're O. Henry-ish sometimes, which is fine. Like that on, if it was just a collection of short stories like that, it would be great. But I think the radiance around the food and man, do I want to eat some of it so bad?
Yeah.
No. Well, I'm very much kind of like Tim. Like I love cooking shows. I used to watch them like all the time with my mom, and now I watch like competition shows and I watch tons of the Binging with Babish now on YouTube. But I don't like any food at all. Like I like absolutely no food. I eat like a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
I was a head chef at a pizza restaurant and I wouldn't eat anything we made, but I would make it and I knew how to make it and I like making food. I just don't like eating it. But I enjoyed the aspect of it and like kind of the fetishization of it, the less kind of like the sexual nature, but like kind of like the like, because it is an art very much kind of like the comics where, and they do a good job of representing that in the comic. And I find, especially with this one, I'm glad you picked it because one, because it, like I said, it showcases kind of the very specific nature of manga at times where they kind of showcase very specific section of society, and there's a comic for that. But also, my favorite thing about manga isn't reflective of the book I picked this week, but I love that, especially with kind of shonen manga. I love the like inherently positive like vibe of manga all the time, and like how a majority of the protagonists are just like unstoppable in their kind of like drive and just being positive and like unshakable. Like I'm reading Black Clover right now, and I was going to pick that at first, but I went Fire Punch. But like the whole premise of that book is like everyone in the world can do some bit of magic, and some people are really good at magic. And the main protagonist of the book wants to be the like king of magic users, but he's the only person in the world who can't use magic at all. And like, it's like, okay, this is going to be like this kind of like story about that. And you think he'd be like depressed, but he's like the like happiest and like most driven dude. And like, he eventually, like his magic is that he is so opposite of having no magic. He's like anti-magic, and he can like negate people's magic. And like, that's his power. It's fucking great. And like, he's just like always fucking positive. And like, I love that shit. Like even like Dragon Ball, like, you know, classic Goku is like, no matter what, he's like driven in that. And then like, you know, with soups, like superhero books like that we read, like they have to like, which is fine, like you have your Peter Parker has to be like knocked down, and there has to be like these like defeats and all this stuff, but like in shonen they just do such a good job of like, you can kind of have that, but you can also have someone like kind of always win and it work. Like people don't necessarily know how to fail, or if they do fail, it can still be like a positive, and like they continue to move on. And kind of like this book, like this book is just, there's no real antagonist in it. There's no real problem anyone faces outside of like kind of wanting just to eat food.
I think it's like the man versus himself thing, because it's like each person has a problem that they're trying to work on or overcome. Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
But yeah, I think, oh, and we should probably say, and I'll leave it to me who's great at names, but so I guess the light novel was originally Junpei Inuzuki, and then it was adapted into manga by Takaki
Kagatsu.
Kagatsu, yep. And then there's character design. I don't know. I'm assuming that's how it works with this, with the light novel being first. But I've noticed, like, I read a lot of the, I don't read the Star Wars books, because I don't have that much drive anymore, but they do manga adaptations of them, and I read those, and those are great.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got those.
Like the Lost Stars one. I was like, this is fucking great. And I don't have to read a book. Like, I can just get the good stuff. And it looks cool. And they draw Vader in anime style. So that's fine. And then, yeah, I mean, we didn't really touch on the art. I think it's, I mean, for the most part, it's pretty, I don't want to say by the numbers in a bad sense, but it's like, it's very clean. And again, like, I like how it's like very kind of clean and simple till it gets to the food, and then it's like
detailed. Hyper detailed,
And like, oh, we'll see. Their omelet. What, did you guys see the omelet? What is that omelet? I don't know, it all looked
like, yeah, it was all
like, it's got like a it has like a weird, no, I shouldn't say weird. It has a like some sort of sauce, like a saucy, like almost like a whipped sauce in the middle, like a hat. It was just like, I was like, oh, I cannot wait to.
I don't know. I didn't know anything they were eating outside of the ground meat cutlet. I just assumed it was like chicken fried steak type thing. And then tofu steak. I just assumed it was tofu. But this whole chapter on a rice ball, which is just used, it was like old food, it was leftovers. it was fun. Like I said, even, like that's what's so great about manga. Like, again, if you're not interested in food, there's no, like, I think that's what, like, Western comics is, like, it's, they make comics that, like, try to appeal to everybody, which is fine, but at the same time, like, there's somebody out there that wants to read a book about food, and, like,
I think if you're trying to appeal to everyone, you're not going to appeal to anyone, because it's just, it can't be, it's just going to be bland trying to get everyone on board.
Also, I kind of think, like, a thing that I love is the, like, the eccentricity of the, like, they extend the circle out to, like swim club, and like I was just in the comic shop today, and there was I don't know if this is an offshoot, but there's like cell phones for another world, which I didn't have a chance to
there's lots of
So like I feel like they don't just sort of expand the genre out. They like they also go to like unlooked for corners of the of you know where people's interest anyway. And that is sort of I think half the fun because you know
and that's what's so interesting too is because there's like genres within genres like so there's the whole I don't remember the name of it but there's like the reincarnated genre where it's like that time I got reincarnated as a like insert and they will literally there's like tons of books like that I read
as you do
I read last week the time I got reincarnated as Yamcha or something like that it's like this it was fucking great it's like this one shot book about this kid who reads Dragon Ball who gets he gets reincarnated as Yamcha in the Dragon Ball universe and he makes like because he knows Dragon Ball like he makes Yamcha who's normally a joke like a cool character and like it is they just like that I think the big one is the time I got reincarnated as a slime is, like, the big one. But like it's just like a genre within a genre and like they have it's so hyper specific and again they're huge like they're just
yeah
and obviously manga is like so competitive and again that's something I don't even understand I know that Bakugan is the comic about making comics there's a few of them the people who did Death Note made a comic about making a comic and how like obviously they don't there aren't deadlines and they don't sleep and they'll die early that's death Jack mentioned you say oh now I'm gonna I can't know how to say the word eclectic eccentric said eccentric right it would have been good if I used that when you said it but yeah. I was gonna use it as a transition to the super eccentric book of your pick
so my book kind of a carryover from last week when we covered the other work by Q Doro Hidoro, the manga we've discussed because I'm a super fan of the anime on Netflix, but I wanted to check out the manga and just sort of see how it like translates. And I read through the first volume. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, have you seen Doro Hidoro?
I haven't.
On Netflix, live Thursdays after Marin. sorry, I don't know why I find that joke so funny. It's super great.
Had you not read the manga?
I had not. No, I.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool.
I gotta tell you, I took a trip on Attack on Titan because I wanted to jump ahead because like it was taking forever for the second season to come out, and I kind of wanted to jump ahead and figure some stuff out. And I found myself I felt like I was robbing the next TV series. Like I thought, like oh, when I sit and watch the series, all these secrets will have been spilled. And I kind of enjoy watching it play out as a, like the animation is so great. I just enjoy watching it. So I, you know, instead of spoiling it this way. So I guess like that has me, you know, like I'm kind of in the, I'll wait and see the anime camp. But I think this was a good lesson for me because I feel like the art style, which I think the TV series tries to emulate, when it's actually on the page, like there's such an argument for why you would read this because the art, like I would say like beat for beat, it's almost, if you've seen the anime, it's almost scene for scene, the exact story twice. Like there aren't like hidden bits or extra bits as far as I've read so far. But the anime, I mean, the way she draws is, or the way she draws is so like fascinating and not, I think in the same, not what you see a lot in manga. And also like within the way she styles, within the way she draws, it's the sort of way she styles like the characters and the sort of like way she dresses them up and there's gas masks and like having gone in reverse reading Day Dark first and then reading this, like you sort of see her aesthetic like there's a lot of carryover between the two, but there's also definitely like a point where she began and then where she expanded out, and like there's a lot to love about this series. I think like it's, I don't know, we've talked about it so much, I don't want to like say the same stuff we've said over and over again. Essentially, it's a character who has been enchanted by like the live in this place called the Hole, which is sort of like a runoff from a magic world. There's a magic world where magic users, you know, go around doing magic all the time, and then there's this sort of like human ghetto, sort of like their you know, it's like their bad side of town where they go and they like for fun and thrills like experiment on humans, usually giving them like heads of different, you know, heads of animals or weird things. The guy has a kind of a very unusual head. Not unusual in the fact that it's like a lizard head, but unusual in that like when he puts other people's heads in his mouth. He can sort of see their little man who lives in the back of his throat comes out and talks to them. It's bonkers. He's under a very, very strange enchantment. He's trying to figure it out. His quest to do that runs up afoul of some magicians, like the sort of magician gang in the sort of mafioso sense of the word. And they are sort of on tracks to interact with each other. He and his lady friend Nikki do a lot of magician hunting and killing. And then the magicians do not like that because he has this sort of bizarre enchantment. He's a little more of a pain in their ass than regular humans are. And then other stuff develops from it. But again, very similar to the TV. I mean, exactly similar to the series. I would say that that's a reason to not look at it because I think when you have the story beats, you then focus on the artwork. And I think the artwork is just, it's just like, I feel like you're looking at something you never get to see, you know, or not never get to see, you know, like it's new. Other people aren't doing this. Like it doesn't feel similar to other styles that I've seen. It just feels fresh and like it's totally coming out of somebody's head, sort of like unrestricted, and is fascinating. What do you guys think?
Well, I think what's so interesting too is like having read some of it and then watching the anime and then having read Die Dark as well, like the show's great, and we've talked about like the animation on it is really great, but they go with kind of the current, I know there's like a studio, but like kind of the Netflix, like quasi CGI animated style. And on the show, it's like the character designs and the world come across, but they're kind of very clean models.
Yeah.
Her art is very, again, we talked about like last time, it's very sketchy and dark and rugged. So like, it's so weird because the models are so clean, but in the manga, like you're not getting like a one for one. Like there is like you said, you can kind of then pull her very like disjointed aesthetic out of it and get that enjoyment out of it if you're coming at it from the anime. And like you get to, I mean, we talk like, I could see this and Die Dark being just in the same universe. I mean, because we don't really know where Die Dark takes place. There's clearly like an Earth in that world or something, like it comes from somewhere. But like, it hits a lot of the same beats, but like what she does so well works across both because she creates interesting characters and then she also creates like really interesting setups. So again, like he is cursed or enchanted and he's hunting down magicians, but at the same time, it plays into his favor because he can't be affected by magic. But at the same time, he's like, so it's just like these really interesting ideas come together. And like, again, Die Dark is very much the same. It's like a guy who, his is the bones, like his bones,
the dark suit,
grain of width. Yeah.
And like, oh, his curse. Yeah. Yeah. If you get
so his bones, you find out. Like it's a very similar premise, but like it's these like quirks on that premise that she like devolves out into the world and work specifically within that world. And very much like Die Dark, like everyone you meet is interesting and instantly you're like, oh, this character's cool. I want to know more about this character. And like the bad guys, like we talked about, the bad guys aren't really bad guys. I mean, they are per se, like we don't yet, this in volume one, you don't know, but like, they don't seem like bad. Like what's his name? The heart guy. His partner is awesome. And like everyone you meet, you're like, oh, I like this guy. And like, oh, I like this guy. And then people die a lot and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, but like everything about like the world she introduces is awesome. And every like page you go, you're like, I just want more of this world. So Tim, cause we talked about this.
People are tired of our takes.
Well, yeah. I like just talking about the art. I like that. It's a bit looser, sketchier, which I think is something you don't see as much. I feel like manga is normally a more clean, simple designs. So I really like that it's different and it's dark, but it also it's filled with heart and it's funny. Where's the moment? The dress assembly, and they're like, oh, like. Oh, yeah. Wear it like this and your butt's exposed. And it's just like it like undercuts like that, like that everyone's kind of suffering in the hole. And it's, yeah, I find it really fun.
She's really good at like undercutting, and undercutting means not the, I don't know, like playing off extreme violence. Like, I'm trying, like, because, like, there's, like, that I love, and then, like, there'll be times where he'll kill someone, and he's like, oh, wait, I forgot to ask about the guy on the mouth said. Like, his whole goal was to, like, find out what the guy in the mouth says, and he'll, like, sometimes be like, oh, I forgot, oh, shit, I forgot to ask. It'll be, like, after this, like, horribly brutal scene, and, like, she's really good at, like, trickling in humor in, like, a very depressing world at times. And they talked about with last time, like, her style is very, very different. And like, when I wanted to pick Die Dark, it was because it was like a manga title that read very much like Prophet meets like Prison yeah. Pit meets like very like indie Western comics. And she was doing it kind of a very kind of refined manga world.
Also, to build on what you were saying, Tim, I think like my sense, this is my sense looking out, not what I know to be true, but like I feel like because there is that connection between manga and anime, like a lot of the manga ends up looking like the same principles of anime, that sort of like very simple style, like very like kind of cell-like where you've got like, you know, a lot of emphasis on the prominent person and then kind of flattish backgrounds. Yeah. And so, like, and I think, like, also having read as many as we've done in the last couple of weeks, you start to sort of, like, you start to kind of get the nuances of how they all look different. Because I thought, like, in the next one we're going to talk about, it also had a kind of a sketchy style. And it's not as clean. Like, what I would think about manga, like, going back, like, the stuff that I first started reading, like, Appleseed and, like, Area 88, like, that stuff was so, like, the lines were so tight and, like, the like there was yeah. a real kind of precision to it. And it's nice to see like that is sort of like a little, but I think like to me, you said Prophet, Kyle, which I think is a good call. But I also think like, yeah. if you guys ever read Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, which is yeah. Jonan Vasquez's. Yeah. So I think like his early stuff was very like, hot topic. Yeah. No, if you go to the yes. comics,
it is very, that's like one comic where like there's such a, almost like man, like there's such I don't know, idea attached to it, but at the same time, it is a good comic. It's just like,
no, it's a good one. It's a hard one to say, like that you like because I think people
because
like,
of the,
it's like saying you like yeah. Fight Club. You know, like I like Fight Club. I'm not an asshole. I get it. I just think it's a well made movie. so like I think like the style reminds me of that and of a lot of like independent indie comics from like maybe the 90s where they were very like there's thick messy lines hurt.
Yeah,
and they're just sort of fascinated with these dark, you know, there's knives on things, you know, like you don't need 16 knives on your belt, you know, but like it looks cool,
it looks so, like, cool.
And I think the looks cool quotient on this is like 11 out of 10. Like it's just like the stuff looks really great, and I like his gas mask, a lot of the stuff I guess you kind of don't, I would say that the atmosphere of the world comes through maybe a little better because you're seeing these larger, you know, just steam ridden junky cities, or scenes of the city. So the atmosphere of the world comes through a little better in the anime, but definitely like the character design and like all the work in their sort of like really awesome dress and go about town is like front and center in the book. So anyway, we talked about it enough, so let's not belabor it. Dorohedoro is a greatest comic book of all time. Fave. If you haven't read either read the manga or seen the anime, like hasten myself to Netflix. Enjoy.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna seek out the other volumes of this because.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. So I don't want to. I'm in that thing now where I don't want to get ahead of the show.
I think it's was there 18 or. There's not too many, which is nice.
Speaking isn't too many. That's yeah, or something.
Well, that's like another like daunting thing at times with, because again, like the way we think of collecting things, like a tankobon or like a small volume of manga, like is released to us every month or every couple months at times. And it's like $10, and then you buy it, and then you have to find out like, you know, One Piece has been going for, you know, 120 volumes. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, but then at the same time, like Batman's been going for like 80 years, and there's like people who buy, and it's like, oh, I don't want to buy all those. But like, I mean, they're collected in chapters. I think most books are around like 200 pages or so. I mean,
yeah,
It's just like a different mind, although they take up shit ton of space just now. I just have them like triple stacked on bookshelves.
Right.
Yeah, and I think the three books we picked, I think, are pretty, like I said, with Tim's, I like that it represents kind of the wide range of kind of specificity, manga covers, and then with Dorohedoro, like, I think that and Fire Punch and kind of why I picked it versus the other book the creator does as well is, like, I think you're starting to see, as much as we've seen kind of manga bleed into Western comics, I think you're starting to see Western and especially European comics bleed into manga creators, like creators, kind of influence. And I think, like, especially the style of like Dorohedoro feels very Western at times.
Yeah.
And then my pick for greatest comic of all time that I read this week is Fire Punch by Tatsuki Fujimoto, who I think most people currently know as the creator of Chainsaw Man, which is like one of the biggest mangas. Currently is getting the anime, I think, in the fall. I think that's up to like 6 volumes, which I'm up with. But this was their manga prior to it. I think it was their first ever published one. This one, again, feels very, not, I don't want to say Western, but like this is very dark and kind of depressing and character driven. So the idea of it, very broad idea, is there's this world which has been cursed by, all you know is it's cursed by the Ice Witch. So everything's like in snow. It's like this kind of like post-apocalyptic world where just always cold and snowing and like people are kind of like suffering. You have these two kids, I believe it's Luna and Anji. Anji is the main character, or Agni.
Yeah.
And it early, like, kind of there are people in the world that are blessed, which are kind of your people with powers. These two characters can regenerate. I guess we'll spoil it. I mean, I guess
spoilers. Well, keeping on the subject of food, there's restaurant to another world. There's all the lovely gyoza in Dorohedoro, and the main dish in Fire Punch.
Is early on is people. So to kind of help out their village, Agni is cutting off his arm and body parts, and he's able to regenerate fairly quick and serving it to the people in the village. They're all aware, like, it's, that's how bad things are, and they kind of like, it's a very early on like establishment of like how shitty this world is, that these two kids have to like cut themselves up to like feed the village, and there's some people who don't want to do it. But it moves forward. The real kind of like driving moment of the book, and the whole reason it's called Fire Punch, is like you'd expect, the kind of like people come to the village from like kind of the larger world, the king, and they find out that they're eating people, and they decide to kill everyone in the village. And there's another blessed character whose ability is, they create flames, and their flames only extinguish when the fuel source dies or perishes. So if you light someone on fire, it will burn until they die, which plays into, I think, the very smart and amazing concept of a character who can continuously regenerate, being lit on fire by flames that never extinguish. And it creates a scenario where this person, Agni, is always on fire, and because he can't die, everyone in the village dies and his sister dies, and then it kind of goes from there. I don't know how much more beyond that I won't spoil, I guess, depending on what we want to talk about, because it's more and more fucked up as it goes. I have all the volumes. I haven't read beyond it just because I didn't want to accidentally say something in case, or kind of lead on that. It's kind of one of the idea of volume beyond it. Chainsaw Man is the complete opposite. Like, it's dark, but it's like really funny and like really quirky. This is really depressing, and there's a little bit of humor, but not much. But I think very much kind of why Chainsaw Man works is they're playing on the tropes of manga, and I really like books that kind of do that. And I feel like this does that in the sense where, again, it's taking a character who has this ability and then throwing this horrible twist on it, and then but still kind of imbuing them with that drive that I enjoy about characters, and that we kind of get with this
book. Yeah, I think it's like similar to how like My Hero Academia handles like superpowers. I don't know where my fingers are. I feel like this is along the same line where it's like, it's that it's a similar approach, but it's going in a completely opposite direction with like being blessed as you're having that blessed ability.
Yeah. Well, I always liked, and I'm behind on My Hero. I think I've only done the first two seasons and I've been trying to get in the manga, but like the idea of All for One is like taking the idea of having this immense power and having to be able to channel it, and like early on whenever he uses it, it breaks his fucking body because like he can't handle it, and like smart concept of that and kind of realistic powers. So, like the very smart, like the whole early, like this at least volume hinges on, you have one character who has like fire that can never go out, and now is put on a person who can regenerate, and like they spent 8 years literally like learning to control. I think he says he spends the first year just rolling around screaming, and after 3 years he's able to like channel it into his fist, and then after like 8 years he's able to like at least like move and exist in it. But like at one point they cut his head off and they just shoot it continuously because he can regenerate. Like it gets weird. There's dogs later on.
Oh, that's not
man. Yeah, I love Soon. That's a great, again, like throwing a character in, like Soon is this character who exists in this horrible world and they're just so fucking positive. Like even in this book, like they just want to put their butt out, man.
Yeah. I have to say that was my like it's a great story and it's well executed. The art is, I think the art, like that's another sort of variation. Like he's doing like original stuff and it feels like he's breaking out of the mold in a lot of ways. And I think that like you're saying, like the story sets up and it also kind of, it zigs a lot when you expect it to zag. Cause like essentially it's a revenge story. And so you think he's going to sort of like, once he sort of masters like living in agony, you know, he's going to go carry out his revenge. And that part of it really like doesn't go, I mean, it's not like he has a big plan, but it doesn't go as planned. And you're sort of like, well, that sort of upsets what your expectations are for the last half. But I will say, like, and as much as like, as great as I think it, as well made as I think it is, I really like the stuff around Soon, like, kind of chased me off. Like, there's a point where like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like the kind of like the later seasons of Game of Thrones after they had sort of gotten past the George R. R. Martin stuff. And there's a lot of like characters that you have sort of an investment in, like because of their, you know, sweetness or their positiveness, or they're sort of like, there's this little sunflower in a very dark, barren, horrible world. And then they get ruined. it's a testament to the power of the storytelling that you sort of are invested in them and then just do not like the dark turns that their life takes. But there was a, like, it was a little, it was, I was like, I, you know what? I think I'm out.
There is, again, kind of like everything you've seen up to that point. Like, again, there's very few like light moments in the book. And again, Soon Sun is like,
I think that was a good pun on light because Soon was forced to make electricity. So
yeah. And like, but even that, like, so you there's a dog stuff and like, I was fucking sick. Like there's these horrible things and Soon gets out of the room in that moment. I guess spoilers right now for like a major part, like the part where he gets his legs cut off. I was actually surprised. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, because, again, you have a character who can continuously regenerate, and you've seen his head cut off, and, like, he regenerates from that. But then I was like, I saw that, and I was like, oh, shit. And then I was like, oh, yeah, he did. Like, that's not part of his ability. So, like, now he's just this kid with no fucking legs. And he's so naive. He was like, oh, my legs. I was like, holy shit. Like, and this book is 8 volumes, so, like, I have no idea
where it's going to go.
Yeah. And again, like to know where this creator goes in their next, have you read Chainsaw Man, Tim?
No, I haven't yet. but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and like the main conceit of that book is there's kind of devils or demons in the world, and this main character kind of fuses with one, and because they both die and they fuse together, so he has this like ripcord in his chest, and he can pull it and turn it into a chainsaw man, and he gets like recruited by this agency, and they're it's like that it like kind of goes in the route where there's like a few of them and they're hunting down other ones. But his main drive is he's this like little street urchin kid, and he just wants to get a kiss and touch boobs. So he like he does these things for that, and like he progressively learns more. And there's like the devils are terrible. Like he has a partner who's a terrible, and like, but it's like real quirky and fun, and it plays up on the trope of like kind of driven anime heroes versus like this dude just wants to touch a boob. Like, and it's not even like sexual. He just wants to like touch a boob before he dies. and like this again is like to kind of go that. And it's again like it's kind of like I guess like I said Western concepts of comic telling bleeding into that. And I don't know how much it is. Like I know there's a bunch of different styles of manga that have existed. But like and kind of breaking away from the very tropes of like shonen and stuff. But and then the art style like. I love this, and this is something like I'm slowly finding more of as I like I dive deeper into it. Like, because a lot of this stuff has existed, and it's very much like Western, like where there's so many indie comics out there, and like Japan has this whole world of like indie comics that exists that like I just wasn't aware of. So that's been interesting. Because again, I think very much kind of like they're the way like most people think of comics as you know, Spider-Man and Batman. I think most people think of manga as, you know, Dragon Ball and Naruto when like there's such a wide range of stuff. Like I think I showed this to you, Tim, not Tim, maybe Jack, like Pits of Hell book I found. So it's like this like independent manga from like the 80s. And it's just like, it looks like Johnny Ryan stuff. Like it's fucking goofy. And there's just like people throwing up and like shitting. but yeah, it's I don't know, it's great. It's really sad, sad book.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think it's like deliberate though. Like, I don't think.
That,
yeah.
Like, oh yeah. McCormick.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
The road. In fact, when I was reading it, because and I also think like in the very like I think in the first chapter, you know, like so there's the like chopping the arms, and then that very quickly leads. Or, you know, like, oh, it's cannibalism. Okay. And then very quickly, the incest bell gets rung. And so, like I think you're on notice from the start. Like, like if there's anything that you don't feel comfortable with, buckle up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I don't trick you into it at all.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, I think you're fully on notice. And I think also, like there are kind of guardrails. Like, I don't know. I can't say because there's very early on, there's a very awful rape, near rape, that you kind of think is going to be a completed rape and then luckily isn't. And I thought like, well, he understands like the contract. Like if you do this, like you kind of lose us, you know, like it's hard to stay invested in characters when you know that like at any given moment, like the worst things you can imagine are going to happen. Which is totally fair. Like it's a lot. Yeah, I mean, there's no. I'm not saying you can't have the Pollyanna of the world. And you can't.
I think just it's using it. I think the Mark Millarification of it is just like it's a go-to to show that somebody's a bad person.
Yeah.
And I think it's cheap and unnecessary.
I mean, I thought like if it had only happened once, I would have been like it was like I'll allow it. But like it like then like. Every character that you come to like, the jeopardy is it's not just, you know, then you're like, well, rape isn't even the worst thing they're gonna do, you know, and and so like, you know, like, and again, like, I feel like, you know, I think that's a mileage varies. It is not like you know, I think everybody just does like you do a personal dip test and you're like, you know what? I'm just not, you know, like no reflection on the work, only reflection on the, like, you know, like, I like Alien, but I don't like Saw. So like, you know, like in theory, they're the same thing, you know, like what's in one is also in the other. So like, you know, it's taste at a certain point, what you like or don't like. But it felt like so that sense that there were guardrails, and then later, and it wasn't even just the dogs, I'll say encoded, it was, you know, like the what happens to him after, you know, it's not just that he's lost his legs, is now he's going to be like a kind of like, you know, like a living battery. And also the main character at this point is just like every 5 minutes getting, you know, he's just a beheaded head getting shot every 5 minutes so that his regeneration power won't work. And you're like, I don't know where to go here. I don't know if I can stay on this journey. That's my stuff.
Yeah. And it's like one appealing, not, or I guess appealing is better, but like knowing it's 8 volumes is more like comforted, problem with like Walking Dead is it just got boring, right? Because it becomes, yeah, like a war of attrition where, yeah, every person you run into is just like a different version of a shitty person, and like, oh, like, yeah, people are the real bad, like evil. So like knowing there's only 8 volumes and there's a completed story and there's an ending is better, because then like I know someone's telling like a story versus like I have to read 1,000 comics of zombies thing. Especially if you're gonna push me that whole time, having that is it. But I'll be interested to read more. I kind of wish I read more, but at the same time I didn't want to like accidentally spoil anything or change my idea of the first volume. But like
knowing that there's only 8, I think I would be interested in reading more. If you were like, hey, there's 30 volumes of this, I'd probably be like, I don't want to just sit through that. Because, like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like you were saying, you don't like Saw. Like, I don't want to watch, like, torture porn.
Yeah.
But I'm... Yeah.
And I think... interesting is, like, there's, like, quiet world building in this. Again, we don't know what the Ice Queen or Ice Witch is. Don't know who the King is. And, like, as like shitty as Agni's life has been, like it still comes through with like, again, what I like about manga is like he's like completely driven, although it's about revenge, but like that all like pours into him just continually to like pressing forward, like the he's getting shot in the head to keep him like dead from regenerating, and at some point he uses that as like, because he's always on fire, he always feels pain, but because he's being shot, he's able to like focus on the pain of being shot, and that ignores the fire, and like he's able to regenerate from that. Like he still kind of like puts in the like driven factor of the character, even though like it's so shitty.
No, and I also think like the village that when we meet the character, and he's a brother and sister, like the village that they're in, like these are good people. They're good people. They're trying to take care of They don't know that these kids have special powers. They take them in, even though like resources are extremely limited, and they, as older people, you know, have to give up more for younger people. So, like, I mean, it what it does well is it sort of teases you with glances of a better world. And then I think when you meet Soon, who is so, like, you know, like they're naive and they're, you know, like sweet, you know, and you kind of like, even in this sort of, in this cold, desperate, bleak world, there can still be sort of like life and vitality and people who are crazy about sugar. And that feels, you know, like it feels fair to sort of have like the bleakness and then the counterbalance of it being, there are people out there worth living, you know, like, cause you're always thinking these stories, like The Road, I was like, why would you like just,
yeah,
hell, like, and then you're like, well, no, there are things in this world to live for, to try to continue for, and like a life to be made. It's just like, I think I had just a visceral reaction because like he does, he's manipulative, you know, like he does a lot of work to make you like Soon. And then the girl that she meets, yeah, you know, like, you know, he does a lot of sort of like he does the work to make you really endeared to these characters, and so the cruelty that is been put on them is hard, you know. It's effective, it, you know, if you didn't care it wouldn't feel so bad, but like because you do, it's rough.
Yeah. And again, I think one of the biggest things, at least for volume one, is again the whole concept of the fire punch, the fireman, as he gets like qualified, is interesting. And then also again, like the idea that this is a world where there's like no warmth,
yes,
and he is always on fire. And I think at one point Soon says that, like, it's warmer near you.
Yeah.
That feels like there's something, like, I have to feel like they're building something to that. Like, I feel like there's going to be, or hopefully a positive climate here. We will see. But like I said, I think, I mean, obviously, anyone that reads, I think, manga is aware of Chainsaw Man. And I think most people now are catching on to Fire Punch. But just, again, I think why Chainsaw Man is blowing up is because it's so different. And again, it's kind of messing with different ideas of manga. And I think this creator, Fujimoto, is fantastic. I mean, like, the art style. Chainsaw Man is like on another level.
I was looking up Fujimoto. They're 27.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're fucking like I think they mentioned in this book. Yeah. the first thing they did, like,
they were like 17.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they're in actually located in the US. So I think in this it says I practice law in New York, Washington, and such places. I promise to prove the defendant innocent. Yeah, they were first published in 2013 when they were like in high school or not in college or something, for like a one shot. Love is Blind, but yeah. So they have like another 20 years of manga before they work themselves to death, unfortunately. But yeah, it's a Fire Punch. It's available now. Luckily, the first volume is, I guess, back in print. It was out of stock a lot of places. I had to order it from Australia to get it at the time.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I got like all volumes except one, and I found a place in Australia that was like free shipping for some reason, but it was like regular price. I paid regular price, so I got it. Which is depressing because I waited to read it, and now it's in stock.
Yeah, so, of course.
I know that's my greatest comic book of all time that I read this week. That's all ours. We don't have a way to end the show either, so I come up with one. We don't have any ideas for. I think we focus on doing a manga week, and then I don't think we thought past.
I have a pick that covers. It's ambidextrous. Yeah, if we did a current comic, it'll work, and if we did a comic from back in the day, it'll work. But I read something that I really...
Is it the Dave McKean one?
It isn't. No, I haven't picked that up yet. I'm waiting for the big boy. The hardcover comes out next week.
Oh, yeah. It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's like a limited edition, right? Boy.
And you know, I got to tell you, this was the first one where... No reflection on the artwork or anything. Just I was like, I don't know. Like every year, $100 for... either way, take a little.
I said that as someone who paid $50 for two volumes of manga today.
From Australia. Have you guys watched the Transformers? Kyle, you probably have, because your boys. Have you watched the Transformers Netflix show?
Yeah, we've watched.
I mean, it's War on Cybertron. Watched
all of it. I've watched some of it with them.
What do you think of it?
It's fine. I enjoy it as kind of like an amalgamation of everything, I guess. I don't know. I'm not super. We just watched on vacation. We just watched the movie.
The original? The
86 one, yeah.
With Orson Welles' final performance.
Yeah. So,
What did you think of the movie?
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. It looks fucking great. Like, there's such like great water effects in that movie.
I also love it.
I'm trying to like tell my kids are just like, oh, that planet's gonna transform. And I was like, oh, look at these water, like this water animation, guys. This is fucking great.
Are you checking out the specular feature on the water?
Yeah. And there's such great 80s. I forgot about the 80s music and that. I got the power.
Oh, and it's a Weird Al, which is actually, I think, like, he's the perfect. He's got on the junk planet, they have a weird, like, Al doing Devo. Yeah. But like his demo and the Transformers demo so much overlap in that. Like, we should do what do they do? Watch with commentary of it.
I thought you were gonna say we should do a Transformer week, because I have a book I've been sitting on.
I would totally do a Transformers. If we're gonna do a Transformers week, then I will stop my I will end this conversation there.
No, well, we can do yours, and then maybe I have a book I've been sitting on. So at some point, I want to do New Avengers meet Transformers. Have you read that?
No, I haven't.
No, that's good.
Is it IDW?
No, it's Marvel. It's there's like a cover where like Spider-Man's sitting in Megatron's hands.
I would have to dig around to find what my comic pick for that would be, but it wouldn't be too hard because I kind of like I found like my little slice of Transformers lore that like I really like. Like I'm really having a good time. Well, I guess so season three, which takes place directly after the movie, Unicron's head is now a floating moon of Cybertron. Who occasionally people will go into to sort of access his memory banks and like you know it's he moans kind of it's in fact I think for a while Starscream the ghost of Starscream is stuck in there. Either way, it's like the last season before they quit to then become like I think Beastmaster
Beast Wars.
Thank you. Yeah. So like if you watched it in the 80s, you saw the first couple seasons were on Earth. And then on the third season, they leave Earth and just go like into it's like it becomes space opera. Oh wait, hold on, is that a check him out?
Yeah, it's the Beast. It's Optimus Primal, and I forget his name.
I think we're gonna get those in the third season, right?
Yeah, these are from this is Kingdom Ones.
I gotta go grab dinner because it's 7:30.
Right on. Oh yeah, we're done.
Yeah. So I'm gonna.
Tim, great seeing you.
Thank you for seeing you.
And come back again.
I want to do this again.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And it gets me reading something I probably wouldn't have.
That's
maybe eventually, but yeah. All right, I'll catch you later.
Adio.
Wait, we don't. Okay. Yeah, but we can do. What was your idea? We'll do that because I think I'd have to actually reread. The Transformers.
If you want to do Transformers, I'm totally down for it because I've been watching through season three and then, you know, like from that sort of spilling out and kind of like just having a good time with it. So I don't mind kicking that can. And then the one that I read, did you read The Submariner, The Depths, Pete Milligan? Isad Ribic.
Oh, Isad Ribic. Yeah. No, I actually haven't read that because I was trying to track it down.
Then let's do it because they So it came out in 2009, but then I think like a week or two ago, like they did a re-release, so it's just a nice little square bound edition, not fancy, just no frills. So I picked it up thinking it was like that, like a current release, and you know, just because I love Rubik's art, and then I enjoy Milligan, so I was like, oh, but great pedigree. And then as I was reading it, like the art, like it, you know, I was like, oh, this feels like an earlier version of his artwork, and also the story, like it's four. Episode, I was like, this feels like four issues combined. And so, like, they did a little research. Like, oh, I'm very late to this party. But now that I'm here, what a great party. I really, really, it was like, apart from the stuff that we read for this, I can't remember the last time I read a comic. And so, I love this.
Yeah, it's one of my, I completely forgot that I was trying to track it down. But then I'm back when I started Uncanny X-Force, when, like,
oh, right.
Ribic was like all over the place. I was like, oh shit, yeah. I was like, oh, he did a Namor thing. I gotta track that down. I don't think I ever found it because it was, like I said, I was out of print for a bit.
You can find this volume pretty easy. And I would highly, let's just make it if you want to.
We'll do that and then I'll find something similar. Kind of I have a couple ideas for like. Four issue things that were collected in like small. Nice. I'm always tempted to do Gothic, but that's such an easy pick and something very similar to what we've done before, so I will never do it.
I don't know. It's also a good one though, and it's like
I just recently got the because they put out the hardcover version.
Oh, they did? That's a beautiful cover.
It's so much fun. Yeah, well maybe I'll put that as a backup, but I'll look through some stuff. Maybe even because I have Peter Milligan stuff that I've wanted to read.
Did you see this? Boom. And great audio content. When I say this, I'm holding up images. Cain and Abel. Shaky Cain, who's like kind of a great Kirby era. No, he's not
he's a younger man than the Kirby era, but draws in a kind of like Kirby-esque.
I haven't in my cart on in stock trades.
It's a lot of fun. I would say I'm sorry. It's Shaky Kane, and then it's also Krent Abel, who I is new to me, but I'm gonna definitely check out more on.
Yeah, because I just got past couple weeks were like big weeks. I bought that Madman.
Oh yeah, the big omnibus.
Yeah, and then I bought something else recently, and then I got the. They started putting out the Larry Hama Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Generation X came out this week. Got its first like epic collection.
Oh, nice! I might pick that up. I've been wanting to track down that Bacalo art. I mean, the whole story is great, but that was a fun. That's like,
he's someone who's so different. Like early on, and I know people have talked about it to death, but like his current stuff, it's good. But like at the same, like you can tell when it like his digital stuff, and like he's like a real bad. I don't know if it's like him or the people putting the books together, but it seems like sometimes they're like changing the image size or like upsizing his stuff, or I don't know what's going on. Like you can tell it's like
a little some tricksiness. It's like
I thought way too much recently. This is their restock that. Do you have an Ollie's out by you?
Mm-mm. What's that?
It's like a discount.
Like a Books a Million?
They would have kind of the same stuff, but like it's like a warehouse store where they buy like liquidation sales and stuff.
Oh, so it's like lots.
Yeah, like a job lots or like ocean. Yeah. Like, but. They carry books and they but they get it like they're big on like getting comic stuff. So like I got the Jack Kirby thing. So this was like $4. The Nightfall thing. This was $5. Like I bought so much
shit. Oh man, you know what it's like a rabbit hole I fell down. Did you ever read Atari Force's Deep Cut? They haven't traded it. Or they have not put it in the trade collection. Oh, check those out.
Yeah, man.
Those are Batman Adventures, by the way. For those.
I finally bought Watchmen. I've never read Watchmen. But I bought the. No, I'm not gonna try it. I bought the Noir edition. That's the only reason I bought it.
Is it? I haven't seen that. Is it?
It's
I tricked him into dragging it out.
It's like the oversized.
Oh, and it's all black and white.
Yeah.
Oh, so nice.
I was like, do I ever want, I've read Watchmen numerous times. I was like, do I ever want to own it? I'm like, I don't know. And then I saw, I was like, this is probably the only way.
Yeah, that would be the version to have. I'm waiting for the Snyder cut.
I'll probably redo it. I don't, Snyder will do it.
Kyle, where can people find you on the internet if they were looking to tell you how wrong you are?
You could do it. Kyle Overkill on Twitter. You can go and retweet or a sour tweet.
Hey, yeah. How's it feel? Are you still feverish from being viral?
Yeah, it's a no. Well, I have to figure out if you mute something, it just means you stop getting notifications.
Yeah, but it keeps going.
Oh, I know that, but I was like, I don't need because this is like the sad truth is like I have notifications set to two specific Twitter accounts, which are action figure news and like announcements, and like so like if I'm trying to like find like a deal or get like the Mondo thing going live tomorrow, I need to like know when it's live. I like count on that, and then so I keep getting these fucking notifications that like so and so has like retweeted this retweet, and I was like, I don't care anymore. Like,
the high has passed.
Yeah, and I was just I'm trying to get these figures. People, so I gotta mute it or something, but yeah, it's pretty much on there. What about you?
People can find me at the villainist on Twitter, and then at Reckless Eyeballs on Instagram. Why not make them the same? I don't know.
There was some new, was there an update on the Yuletide thing I thought I saw?
Yule, I think it's going to press. I sent off final files on that. I think soon we'll start clanging the Yule bell. and then not much else. Yeah,
that's good. That's, I'm excited for it.
Oh, I got to see a. I got to see like a.
You saw them all.
I saw them all. I had seen most of them throughout. And I, you know what? This is gonna sound cheesy and log rolly, and it's not. But like, because I see a lot of anthologies. Not, I mean, as a fan, I used to read a lot of anthologies. This is the best anthology you've ever seen. Like, stuff in it is so good. I'm amazed. Like, each one I read, I'm like, oh, God, that was incredible. Then there's another one right after. I'm like, God, that was incredible.
Maybe that's poor timing on my part. I was like, literally, you were saying that. I was like, oh, I got to tell Jack about, I finally got my cry punch. I haven't seen Yule, so I can't say it. This thing is the nicest fucking thing.
Look at that.
Did you back this?
I did not.
Oh my God. Well, I think they're selling. I think that's just regular retail now. But like,
yeah, I think everybody, they build it a little extra so you can. No, I'll check it out.
This is beautiful. Yeah.
Oof. Well, I'll just say this. I don't particularly like Christmas, so I was not expecting a book of Christmas stories to, you know, but they're all sort of like weird. So that, like,
I love, especially again, anthologies. Like, it's got to have a cool theme. I think, again, I don't know if I talked about it. Maybe it's one time we'll cover. I don't know how he would cover it. But what's it called? In the Dark, that anthology. They put it out on Kickstarter, and it's like this library edition, like horror anthology. Mm-hmm. And there's like a shitload. I think there's like 35 stories in it. It's like a ton. It's like, it's like Murder's Row of creators. It's like Rachel Deering, I think, edited it. But it's like one of my favorite anthologies. It's like themed to horror, like, so like a Christmas one. I don't know why there's not more of like holiday specific anthologies.
Oh yeah, I know. In fact, I don't know. I really like anthologies, and I think right now with Kickstarter, I think I think behind the scenes an anthology is a lot easier to kickstart because you have like 50 people to help you sort of move the ball instead of just one person trying to push it up a hill. So like, I think for that reason, they're very, you know, like it's great for the format. And I think because Kickstarter is kind of doing really well now, it's an easy way for, and also like, you know, people everywhere, like people who are a little more established, people who are a little less established, you can kind of get them all in the mix. Like the pay range is usually, you know, enough to accommodate everybody in the middle somewhere. And like, it's just like, it just seems like month after month, I keep seeing like soliciting like really great one. And the stuff I've been getting from Kickstarter over the last, like, did you get that, Lancet Tales, I think Scarlet Twilight. Benjamin Morse is the artist and writer, and like totally like Ghost from Dark Horse back in the day. He's got a very Adam Hughes style. It's not always, I think it's not always a great, it's not always great to compare one artist to another because, like, you know, beautiful, unique in their own way. But like when you look at it, it's so similar. And he's also sort of doing like a Bronze Age-y kind of comic of a, like, you know, Art Deco sort of style. So like it sort of conjures up those connections. Like, beautiful, beautiful. And then a couple of, yeah, no, man. Kickstarter's killing it. Kickstarter is the best publisher going now.
Well, yeah. And it's like, it's almost like, I don't think I backed that because I don't remember. But like at the same time, I get stuff like every other week and like something will come. It's great because like I forget. And I'm like, holy shit, what is this? And I was like, oh, I back this. And like, but there's so much on there, like you can easily miss. I still think they need, I don't know, it seems like the sometimes the presentation function on there is, like, there's sometimes where there's, like, the ones I'm looking for, and I'm just, like, too lazy to type it in, and I was like, I'll just scroll down, and I'm like, I don't see it, and it'll be, like, way down, I'm like, this is, like, I don't remember what the one I was looking for, but I feel like
no,
sometimes...
I was one of those books, and I will tell you, it's very frustrating. I felt like there was a sort of alchemy, and it was always like one less than like whatever the formula that was. I was one less than was necessary, and it was harder to be discovered. Like the discovery option in Kickstarter could be tweaked a little.
You have to get to like the very specific explore comics, and then explore like all, like there's a very specific thing, because if you don't, like, it won't give you all of the actual active ones, and then sometimes it will put in inactive kickstart, like completed Kickstarters.
Oh yeah. Thank you for that, by the way.
Like I'll be like, oh, I want, I'm like, I thought I backed, and I'm like, oh, this looks cool, and I'm like, oh, it's completed like 3 years ago. So, but yeah, there's like so many great ones. I know I have, I think there's some going right now I backed, but there's some I get roped into, like, but the, I did the God Hates Astronaut one recently.
Okay. He
like polybagged it, and I was like, oh, I gotta get a polybag. That's how you get me. But yeah, so we'll be back. I should have this stuff loaded up. The fifth
of
August with our next stream. So if you're listening to audio one, you can tune in for that. But obviously, it will live forever on YouTube and on the audio. And then Pages Panels comes out every other week. We just did a Dave Rubin one. Not Dave Woo-hoo. Rubin. Fuck. Dave Lopez. Baker? Dave Lopez.
For
Black Hand and Iron Head. And it was a really good time. He actually, I was like, oh, I'll ask him about creator rates. And this is like a guy who worked for Marvel. Like, oh, okay. He's willing to talk about how shitty pay rates and owning stuff. So that was cool.
That's good.
And it's a great book.
That is a conversation I think we need to have more of. Although I also think it's like hugely discouraging to get into guns.
Yeah, I saw it was just a recent article, I think today. I don't know if it was on Vice or it was on something about creators getting paid for.
Oh, wait, is this the one about the movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, like how little money. Like the guy who created Thanos got more for some like side characters in Warner Brothers than he did for Thanos.
Yeah.
Brubaker
got.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He got more. He gets more in royalties for the time he was on screen in the Winter Soldier movie than he did for creating the Winter Soldier story, which now has the Falcon and Winter Soldier. So he gets nothing. Yeah, because it's because it was about can't remember if it was Valiant as well. It's been a big thing now where they weren't paying creators. But, oh yeah, there was a Valiant article as well where. When they came back,
their newer incarnation.
The way they had their pay rate set up was there was like a pool. So like if the comic made more money, or say like it got sold as like a movie or something like that, like a bunch of the money would go into this pool that would go back to the creators, and then that kind of like disappeared. And then when it got bought out or got sold to like the new entity, they completely ignore the contract, so like a bunch of like creators got screwed out of like all this like new content they created at Valiant. And they originally went to Valiant because of that setup, and they took like less pay rate.
Right.
I don't remember,
you know what Disney was doing. That Disney was fucking over some Star Wars people, like they were just saying, I guess because like when Disney bought Star Wars, maybe Fox, sure. They were like, oh, we don't have to pay the royalties. Like, whatever you had with Luke's film, we're not doing.
I imagine, Timothy Zahn, who created, like, Thrawn, who's now in, like, books and, like, the TV show. I'm sure he's getting tons of money.
No, it's super frustrating, especially when, like, you see, like, I think there was something going around last week. It was, like, a banner year last year. Like, we sort of broke the ceiling. And not just, like, I think there were the little engines that could, that sort of pull the industry along. Like they're always talking about Scholastic and YA, but this is like, you know, adult oriented, not adult, like sexy, but like adult for not for child readers. Graphic novels, which is sort of like kind of an area that sometimes struggles. And it was doing like phenomenal. It had a banner year last year. I mean, I think the pandemic plays into it, but so you sort of see like, hey, this is a $1 billion industry, but why, like who is making these billions?
Oh, I know. Well, that's like that. It's the largest like juggernaut for movies and entertainment right now is comics, and they're all taking stories, fairly recent stories, and using them as the kind of backbone for this. And none of that's getting. I mean, one of the biggest things out of Loki was like Kid Loki, which is like a Gillian invention, and I'm sure he got. Well, Gillian and what's his name? But
yeah, no, that was the. I think like it's one thing to say like, oh, Iron Man, because it's sort of diffuse. Like a lot of people contributed to Iron Man, and like the story, it's not a specific story. Sometimes it's just sort of like, he's got this thing in his heart, blah blah blah. So I get that. Like that is a little like
but like when you're talking about like the Infinity Gauntlet, you're talking about like one guy, like so like, and it's one thing to say like, because I know comics is very like, comics as print are separate from the Marvel universe, so the MCU, I should say. So like they don't make as much money. Like it's one thing to say like, you know, like I think comics maybe makes $14 billion and like movies, or, I'm sorry, did I say 14? You know what, comic makes X amount and movies make, you know, one movie will make, you know, $2 billion. So like on the one hand, comics, movies make more money. You can't always say that that bleeds into the comic print, but if you're taking these stories from comics, then the guys should get, like, they should get paid. Like they just should, like they just should. And then it's okay to like labor in comics for 20 years if you get like one nice payday where you can buy a house. You know, like I think everybody's like, you know, like, eh, you know, like I do it because I love it, but you still got to give them that payday.
Right. Well, and it always goes back to like the very simple concept that you, and it doesn't, obviously doesn't work under like capitalism, but like if you pay people for good work, they do better work.
Yeah.
So like, if you pay comic creators for like coming up with good comic ideas, maybe more people would go to comics and come up with more ideas, but it doesn't work that way, apparently. I mean, it's also like, because I work in human services and like I work to like coordinate like aides that come in your home and take care of your like aging mother, and like they pay them, you know, $12 an hour. Well, like surprise, surprise, when that person like is like smoking pot on the job because they get paid $12 an hour. What the fuck do they care? If like, like it's a position where they're like, you know, wiping asses and like essentially like keeping people alive, and we pay them like the lowest rate. So like, what do you expect? But like, if you pay them, you know, $20 an hour, then they're not gonna lose that job because like that's a good job.
Right. Yeah,
they're getting paid what they're worth, and like. But yeah, so it's the same with comics like that. No, well, so end on this note. But yeah, thanks for joining us. We'll be back on the 5th, not making money.